Welcome to the Careering into Motherhood podcast. I'm Jane Johnson. My guest today is Michelle O'Sullivan. As you'll hear in a moment, on the surface, Michelle had it all. A big job at an investment bank, business class travel each week to some far-flung location. She was where she and everyone else thought she ought to be, career-wise and in her life. But a severe spinal injury caused her to reassess, and she pulled the ripcord and did what she and no one else thought she ever would. Michelle, it's great to have you calling all the way from sunny Ireland.
Delighted to be here.
So you have a background in neuroscience, which I'm assuming you must surely bring to bear with your coaching clients. How do those two interplay? And just talk a little bit about your career before we go into the coaching.
So my backstory is I spent 21 years working for an investment bank in the city in various HR roles. I moved back to Ireland from London in 2004. And the last role I had was the head of HR for all of their presence outside of the UK. So it was excluding the Americas and excluding Asia Pac, but I had about 21 countries. And those were the days when you could travel. So it was sort of a quiet week if I wasn't in the airport at least once on that old dreaded red eye. I hated those flights.
Did you always anticipate that you would go back home at some point?
You know, the Irish, we tend to be a bit boomerangy, so we'll go somewhere and then tend to come home. But I adored London. It's a fantastic city. Family circumstances changed, things happened, and I just felt, you know what, I really need to be in Ireland. And initially when I came back, it was funny because this is quite a long time ago, but the idea of me taking a very senior leadership role but not being based in London was a real anathema. So I actually broke that barrier and obstacle, which is something that I'm really proud of because that legacy still lives on. At the time, the mindset was, if you want to be a senior leader, you must be physically located with the rest of your peer group. But actually now we know with the advent of these types of platforms that you don't.
I know a lot of our listeners will have either experienced a no or will be worried that if they ask to do something typically out of the box, that that will be given a response of no. So when you went into the initial discussion negotiations, did you have a kind of, well, if they say no, that's it, I'm going to leave? Or how did you go about those negotiations?
So I really, and this is advice actually that I would use in every facet. So I tried to predict what are they going to say? So what are the potential obstacles? So that I had a plan that I could actually try and mitigate against that. So initially they said, but everybody's based here, you know, and I wasn't going in prepared for a no. I really was absolutely laser focused that this was what I wanted. And actually, that's really key for a lot of clients because I knew that that was what I wanted. They didn't say yes immediately. I didn't expect they would. But any and all obstacles they put up, I had prepared for, I had responses to. And I basically said, look, let's give it a trial period. Let's see how it goes. If it doesn't work out, then we can call it quits, but let's at least try. And it did work out.
Yes, that's something I always suggest when people are going into negotiations around, you know, want to go down to 4 days a week or something else. Ask if you can trial something because 9 times out of 10, you will make it work. Both sides will make it work because you want to make it work. You'd brainstormed, I guess, on your own. What did you do? Did you write down all the possible resistance questions and things you'd get?
Absolutely. And I say this with a lot of clients, think it and ink it, because I spent so long in my own head thinking, oh, the what ifs, what if they say no, what if, but actually I never thought, what if they say yes? This is where neuroscience comes into play. Like our brains are hardwired for negativity. There's a real strong negativity bias and they're hardwired to keep us safe. And difference, change, that's not safe as far as our brain is concerned. So we automatically think, what if it doesn't work out? But actually, what if it does?
So when you go into a negotiation like that, you are just focused on the outcome that you want. Obviously, you have prepared all of those things, but in your mind's eye, you're seeing what success looks like and feeling it and experiencing it.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, if you're not clear on what you want, how will you know when you get it? It's not about being absolutely rigid because there has to be a degree of flexibility and trialing and testing, etc. But you know, the amount of clients that come to me and say, I really want to work part-time. Have you asked? Ah, no, they'll say no. Well, how do you know they'll say no? So again, that's our hardwired negativity response. Sometimes they may do, but equally predict what their obstacles are and have a response for that.
I'm thinking of something that I'm doing at the moment and it's been dragging on and on. I know what I want, but I haven't got a kind of, right, if we don't get this by this time, then I'm doing something else. What's happened is the balance of power has almost shifted back into the other party's favour. And I think I do that a lot with loads of things. I don't clearly drive at what it is I want. And therefore, everything takes so much longer.
But that's also where your values really come into play. So aligning things, what you want with your values and what's important to you, will really make sure that you are doing what's right for you and living your authentic self.
We were going to talk about 5 key pieces of life guidance rather than specifically focused around career. You help people with career fulfillment and that sort of thing. But because of the neuroscience element that you can bring, there's a much more holistic view.
So I spent 21 years working in that very high pressured corporate environment. Like a lot of people I know, unfortunately, it took a really bad toll on my health, which I now know with the wisdom of time was more likely stress than anything else. But for me, it manifested itself in my back. I'm a pretty high energy, pretty sporty person, but I got to the stage where I couldn't walk. It was really, really bad. I basically had to have a spinal fusion. And it was during that post-operative time when I could only sit for 15 minutes, an hour, including toilet breaks. The rest of the time was lying flat on my back. So I had a huge amount of time to get into my head. And I really forensically looked at my life and I thought, I'm just not happy. I'm really not happy. And this probably brings me to my first piece of advice. I feel these, I suppose, nuggets are very much applicable to all facets of life, because in coaching or mentoring, you're coaching the person. What may present as a career change may actually manifest itself as it could be somebody who doesn't have the confidence to make the change or the belief or indeed the clarity in terms of what it is that they want. So I spent a long time in my own head. I couldn't see the wood for the trees and I asked for help. And that to me would be my absolute number one. And if we talk about nothing else, I'd be delighted to just talk about that. But really ask for help. And I always thought asking for help was a sign of weakness. But funnily enough, I didn't judge people when they asked me for my help, but I really judged myself. I should know this. I should do that. You know, I enlisted the help of a coach and his background is very much neuroscience based. And I'll be very honest, I did go in a little bit skeptical. I thought, what is all of this faffy, floaty world of coaching about? It's not going to work for me. But actually, his very practical neuroscience base, linking our head brain to our body, our minds to our body and backwards, and the impact that they can have on each other, the impact that the stress had on me, that it had to come out somewhere. So it really resonated with me. And that's now also how I bring neuroscience into coaching, because there can also be a sense of failure with people, and asking for help feels like, oh, I haven't done something the way I expected to. And now I have to be vulnerable and tell somebody. But what I would say about asking for help is it's really, really important that you ask the right person. So, you know, friends, family have vested interests. Again, their brains are hardwired for safety. So they are not necessarily going to be the ones that are really going to challenge, help you see different perspectives. Like, I really couldn't see any possibilities. I'm too old, it's too late, I've been here too long, I can't do anything else. Guess what? You can. But I just couldn't see that for myself.
How did you come to the idea of coaching? Did you ask a few people and did you sort of work through various therapy with a small t?
Yeah, and I've done an awful lot of coaching in my corporate career, a lot of mentoring as well. And it was something that I'd always had a really good experience with. But it was actually really felt as if I had failed. There was something wrong with me. It took me a long time to actually ask and break that boundary in my own head, because as soon as I was asking for help, I was admitting to something wasn't quite working. From the outside looking in, it seemed like, God, Michelle's got a fantastic, fantastic life. She's always traveling, very glamorous. Yes, it was, and it gave me buckets, but actually, unfortunately, an overdeveloped strength soon becomes a weakness. So that sort of, you know, I'm 5'2", I'm bulletproof, I can do anything. That got me so far, but then it got me to breaking point. So I asked a friend, and she had worked with this individual, and I went along. I was open-minded, and that's what I would say to listeners. Be open to being vulnerable. And also, if it's not the right chemistry fit between you and a coach, or you and a mentor, or you and whomever you choose to work with, keep looking.
Yes. That's really important, isn't it? Because, I mean, there are so many people out there, so many practitioners that you can talk to. But I always say that finding the right coach or the right person to talk to, whatever it may be, is a little bit like buying a house. You can read the estate agent's spec, but the moment you pull up outside, you kind of know if you want to go in. And the moment you go in, you know if it's right for you or not. And I think that is the same with any type of coaching, mentoring. It's largely about how you gel with that person. It doesn't matter what their qualifications may say. It's how you with them. You did some work with this person. Did you know when you started that you would be leaving the world of banking? Had you already reached that conclusion on your own?
Absolutely not. No, no. I was stuck in, this is all I know. This is what Michelle O'Sullivan does. She works in a bank, she works in HR, and she travels a lot. and to be honest, one of the other pieces was just make a decision. He really challenged me. Like, I spent so long pondering the what ifs, what if it doesn't work out? I couldn't make a decision. When I think back, Jane, to the amount of hours and days that I spent flip-flopping, stay, go, stay, go, stay, go, what if it doesn't work out? And I wouldn't have come to this without his help. What if it does? Like, we're so binary. Things are black, white, good, bad, heaven, hell, right decision, wrong decision. Whatever decision you make at that time is the right decision. If it doesn't happen to work out the way that you might have expected it to, well, then guess what? You just make another decision. And if that doesn't work out, you make another decision. But the worst thing you can do is stay stuck.
You know, a lot of the time, the what if it does work out, because it's your, I say your dreams, but it is to a degree. It's like, well, you know, I have this idea. It could be really exciting. But then whatever it is holds you back and says, no, 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 that's not for you. You can't do that. And then the idea that actually this could really be what I've always wanted. Certainly for me, that is almost too scary a thought than it's not going to work out. And then I'll be back to where I am and everyone will say, I told you so. And I'll be able to tell myself I told myself so.
The other thing I'd say is, like, do you remember when you were growing up and people would say to you, what do you want to be when you grow up? Like, it was never predicated on, do I have the right competencies? Do I have the right experience? Do I have the right skills to be an astronaut? No. So some of that wonder and childlike and curiosity we lose as adults. Why? Because our head brain takes over. We've brain cells also in our heart and in our gut. You know, the way when people say head versus heart, or I have a gut feeling, like, our head brain is brilliant for keeping us safe. It makes a great employee, but a really bad employer. So you need to learn to tap in and listen to your heart and your gut. And oftentimes our head is looking to keep us safe. It's looking for fear. It's fear that tends to hold us back. But actually, the brain doesn't know the difference between real versus imagined. So that what if it doesn't work out, test the reality. What's the evidence? The amount of times I've had clients say to me, oh God, I could never do that. How do you know? Ah, well, just, you know, I just couldn't. I tried. But actually, without the evidence, it's fear, which I use a mnemonic with clients saying it's false expectations appearing real. So test it. We put obstacles in our own way. And actually, if it's something that you want, that you really, really want. I'm sounding a bit Spice Girl. But
woman after my own heart.
Go out and do it. Anything is possible. Test, look for the evidence. What is stopping you? And oftentimes we find it's ourselves stopping us, or more specifically, our head brain, because this is outside the comfort zone. It's different. It's change. Michelle O'Sullivan has always been in banking, in HR. She doesn't do anything different.
I'm just fascinated in this idea, this whole concept. How do we remove and unpick some of the fear? So if I take a really, really personal situation right now, so the business is going frighteningly well for what we've done in the short space of time.
There,
I've said it. I feel arrogant, I feel big-headed, I feel boastful, but no, it's working.
Don't do that to yourself. You're assuming judgment. There's no judgment. You have created something fantastic. That's a fact.
Well, it's work in progress, isn't it? But the fear that is around, what if it could become what I really want it to become, is genuinely, Michelle, holding me, or therefore the business, back. And I've got lovely people around me, great people around me. I've got people supporting and so on. For somebody else in another scenario, but mirroring that, how do you work with a client to start to remove some of that fear when it almost becomes paralyzing or self-defeating?
You know, sometimes the obstacles are real. But again, it's a little bit like what we said about negotiations. Okay, well, if that's a real potential thing that could go wrong, how do I mitigate against that? You don't climb a mountain without, you know, ropes and stuff to just in case. So how do you have that as well and test it? And also write it down. I oftentimes find that depersonalizing things, so working with clients, it's think about if this was your best pal and they were coming to you with this situation, what would you be saying to them? And then it's depersonalizing it. It's taking it out of, can Jane Johnson do this? Can Careering into Motherhood do this or not? But actually, and even just writing it down and using an alter ego, calling it something different, but testing it and being forensic and actually looking for the evidence.
That's fantastic. It's great, great advice.
Bit of free coaching there for you, Jane.
I know. So let's move on to your second nugget of wisdom, I guess.
I'm kind of weaving a lot of them in. Like, I've covered about three already, but I think the be brave, actually a very good segue to what we've just discussed. Back yourself, trust yourself. Any change, and it doesn't have to be a big career change like I made, any change, small, medium, large, it takes time. Time to decide what it is that you want, how you're going to get it, how you're going to get there. But again, if it's what you want and if it's what's right for you and in alignment with your values, then be brave. The amount of people, when I said to people, oh, I'm thinking of leaving. Oh my God, what are you going to do? Why would you do that? What? Actually, it wasn't right for me. Doesn't mean it's not right for somebody else. But you really need to stay the course and be brave.
You went in to talk to this coach, neuroscientist, and you reached the point where you were going to leave. You decided it was right for you. But that is a huge leap, and that is a huge amount of courage and bravery from your work being your life, as it sounds as though it was, to actually, I'm going to leave, therefore, that life, and do something that I really, you know, have never done before and has no security. How did you get that bravery?
I kept thinking that there will always be a big corporate city HR job there. Like, that's always going to be there. But during the time, I read a most powerful book, The Five Regrets of the Dying by Bronnie Ware. And one of them really resonated. It was, you know, various people on their deathbed saying, I wish I hadn't worked so much. And I had lost the sense and my own essence of who is Michelle O'Sullivan, you know, hobbies, family, etc., my values. I was letting life happen to me as opposed to me really being in the driving seat. My coach was not backwards and coming forwards and saying, you need to take accountability. Looking back, I probably went in a little bit like a victim. Oh, they, you know, I may do this, may do that. Well, no, nobody can make you do anything. You do what you do and you feel how you feel.
I think a lot of us, when we have worked for an employer. We've worked for somebody else. We give them so much of ourselves. And then when things don't go our way, because we feel like we've given them the power, that sense of being the victim and being powerless is actually easier than taking control. Although, you know, we may feel very sorry for ourselves, it may not feel like the easy option. Actually, it is, isn't it?
Yeah. And that asking for help is so empowering because it does help you take back control. But again, it's also about boundaries. You know, the amount of times I said myself, and indeed I hear clients say, oh, you know, I was made do that, or they made me feel. Nobody can make you feel something. You feel how you feel.
Yes.
So again, it's just about taking a little bit of accountability and getting out, because that victim mindset is, it's, you're on a hiding to nothing. It's a spiral. And it took me, as I say, you know, and beauty about coaching is there's a healthy level of challenge, but it's always in a supportive way. But I wasn't prepared. Myself was getting in my way, if that makes sense. So it took a third party who was totally unattached to the outcome. He was going to sleep the same at night if I stayed or if I went. That's the power sometime of really asking for help and getting the right help.
Have you ever regretted or looked back? I'm really interested in how you filled that hole that was the kind of big corporate job by stepping out on your own.
Yeah. I mean, I look at my wardrobe of beautiful dresses and high-heeled shoes. Designer handbags.
Well, you're still wheeling them out, Michelle. I can see today.
And people will say it, and it sounds a bit like a cliche, but I have never been as happy. Absolutely. Have there been tough times? Completely. Yeah. But I'm now living to my values. I've got flexibility. You know, I get out of life what I now put in. I have time for friends, for families, for hobbies. I get to work with amazing clients. And I use that lived experience. The only regret I have, and it's not even a regret, it's just because I had been noodling on leaving my corporate role for a long time. It didn't just happen with the post-spinal fusion. But I listened to other people and their agendas. And people just kept saying, ah, what would you do? What would you do? And as I say, I didn't know what else I would do. And equally, I didn't even know I'd be doing this when I left. I just knew I can't continue to do what I'm doing because it is taking a toll on my health.
Do you think that women have a greater sense of, I just have to put up and shut up and keep doing this because this is what I've been told is, you know, I've got what everyone else would love to have.
Yes, I do. It's mainly women that I coach, but even when I look back in the early days when I did coaching for men, not that I'm exclusive, but I just prefer coaching women. And men tend to put themselves out there more. Women, we tend to play a bit smaller. Do you know what? Be happy with what you've got. Don't question. And there's a struggle, there's a juggle. There's lots of things that we as women are doing. And I just feel that if we push ourselves more and help each other along the way, because, you know, that power of the network is really supremely strong. And women helping women, people just helping people. But we do tend to play a little bit small.
There is so much in there and I could carry on talking to you for ages, but thank you so much for sharing your experience.
Thank you, Jane. It was a pleasure.
Michelle is always full of so much relevant, insightful guidance. From today's conversation, I'm taking away her points about asking for help when I need it and always imagining that things won't go your way, but prepare for the fact that one day they might actually go the way you want. And then what? Thanks for listening. As ever, you can find out more about working with Michelle, along with everything else that we offer and all of our coaching resources on our website, www.careeringintomotherhood.com.